Praise God. Well, isn't it great to be in fellowship with God tonight, in fellowship with one another, and we just thank God for all that He is doing and has done in our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, turn over to John chapter 14. Bariyako. Hey, Asante. Asante. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14. Talking about the works of Jesus, and we looked at last time I ministered, I don't remember when it was, but here, but in talking about Jesus, talking about these works, we're just going to read one verse here, but over and over, especially in the book of John, he said that he did these works because he was in the Father and the Father was in him. He said, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. And he said, if you're going to believe the works, because that's what it is, okay? So here in John 14, I want us to read verses 10 through 12 here tonight. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Now here, he's mentioned three times in two verses that the Father is in him. Now, you know, in careful reading of the New Testament and what Jesus said, Jesus never took credit for doing any miracle, for healing one person. He's always said the works that I do, he says, because of the Father and my relationship with the Father. All right? And in looking at that, we talked about, if you've been around Rhema very much, about in him realities, who we are. But the fact of the matter is, according to scriptures, we're joined there with Jesus. We have the same relationship with the Father that Jesus had with the Father. And the Father's in us, just like he was in Jesus. And we're in the Father. How? Because we're in Christ. And if the Father's in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we're in him, then he's in there somewhere. Right? And he said, the works that I do here, look what he said. I'll pick up verse 11. And believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, you know, when we read that, I don't know about you, that kind of really does away with, blows my religious mind. Greater works than you did, Jesus, and you're not going to be here? Well, he's here, but he's here in a different way, isn't he? He's in us by his Spirit. Now, I know we've tried to explain that away by saying, well, greater quantity. I know that's a part of it, but Jesus didn't apologize for a word that he said there. He didn't try to qualify it. He said, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Now, if we know anything about how God operates from reading the Word of God, what we know, and we're going to look at a few scriptures here that actually show what we know Jesus is saying here, is once I've gone to my Father, I am, and the Father, who, you know, he does the works. He teaches what I say, I hear him say. What I do, I've seen him do. He said, he is going to give you then, his children who are joint heirs with me, the same authority to do the works that I myself have. And all you have to do, and we know, is use his what? His name, right? All right. So authority in this, and if you look at the ministry of Jesus, he ministered and they marveled. He blew them away because he did things with someone that actually had authority. All right. Now let's look at some scripture. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to spend some time in Matthew tonight. The rest of this that I've, actually the scriptures I've written down are all in Matthew, but you never know, do you? Authority. Delegated authority. authority is only as good as the power that stands behind it. With God, nothing's impossible, is it? So our authority knows no impossibilities when operated the way God says to operate it. Amen. Now, without going back, when God created man, back in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, it's quite clear God gave man dominion, right? Same word, same thing as saying gave man authority over everything. Everything God had created, God gave man authority over it in the earth. And the very first sin came because of a failure to operate in that authority. They had authority right there to tell that serpent to shut up, don't ever talk to me again, and get out of here. But they didn't use that authority, did they? Now, a lot of our problems, you know, we want to blame the devil, but a lot of our problems are, I know, I'll speak for me. How about that? I'll talk about me and not about Tracy back there. I'll talk about me. I know if I had used the authority, my God-given authority, that the Word of God says I have, then I would have avoided a lot of different situations in life. Amen. Praise the Lord. But tonight, I don't want to necessarily talk about this authority where it comes to meat and mind. I want to talk about we have the authority to do the works of Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't do works for himself. He said, I didn't came to be ministered to. I came to minister. So if we're going to do his works, they are outward. Right? You know, in John has two places there. When Jesus was at the well there in Samaria, he said there'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You're never thirsty. That's that new birth. But then in John 7, he talked about a river of living water flowing out. That affects others. You know, a spring that just wells up, that keeps that water fresh. And that water, you know, pure from impurities. It constantly cleaning itself because of that pure water. It's good to drink that water, isn't it? But that water that rushes out, that changes things. Amen? And that's that power we have. And we have the authority to use that on the behalf of others. So we have the authority, every one of you, not just the pastors. God just didn't give authority to Wigglesworth and Bosworth and T.L. Osborne and Oral Roberts and Kenneth E. Hagin and Kenneth W. Hagin and Craig Hagin. And, you know, he gave authority to every person who calls on his name and is a born-again believer. You have that authority to minister the life of God and the power of God to others. The works that I do shall you do also. Now, here in Matthew 7, let's look how Jesus, their comments concerning, this is after what we call the Sermon on the Mount. But look at these last two verses of Matthew 7, verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Amen. You know, I think when Brother Hagin started teaching some of the things he started teaching, people were astonished at his doctrine. But he was teaching straight from the Word of God. Amen. And then he said, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes who just taught, here's what it says. No, Jesus taught as if, and I had a person tell me this who came to school. They'd gone to another school, nothing against that school at all. But they came here and they said, well, I've already had a class on that at this. I said, you know, so did I in college. I had a class on that very subject. I said, but you're going to have it again here. Praise the Lord. And I did it too. And I said, but at the end of it, I want you to come tell me if there's a difference. And they said, you know, in my other class at that school, they taught me a lot about that, you know, this, that certain thing, and about that book, the Bible, or about that type of thing. He said, but here, the instructors taught this like we're supposed to be operating in that today. See, that's teaching as one that has authority. That's what I think sets this school apart. It's because we teach that this is for you today. In this ministry, this church. Amen? This word is for you today. It's for us today. Didn't pass away. You can't find that in the Bible. Glory to God. But he taught us one having authority. Well, then look at, when you think of authority, don't you think of Matthew 28? I sure do. Look over there, Matthew chapter 28. But let's notice something that he said here. We'll pick up there in verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, the King James says. It's literally the word for authority. Same word that was translated authority in Matthew 7 that we just read. It's translated power here. It's authority. But you can understand the idea of why it's powerful when you think about it. But it's the word for authority. So let me read it. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. See, when he says that, then he right there is delegating that authority. It's been given to me. Now I'm telling you to go. See, I'm giving you authority now. Now notice what he says. Teach all nations, literally make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now I've heard some erroneous, doctrine being taught that, well, everything Jesus said was for the Jews, it's not for us today. Well, then that scripture right there does away with that, doesn't it? If we're supposed to observe and teaching them to observe what I've told you, then we have to know what he told them Jews, right? But what he's really literally telling you, remember in John 17, he said, Father, I don't pray for these alone, but for all those that shall believe on me through their words. See, these guys he's talking about here, that he's not just guys, there's ladies too. I mean, there was all men and women there on the day of Pentecost when the church was empowered to go out. But he says here, he said, teaching them to observe. Well, one of the things that Jesus taught them and gave them, and we'll look at it here in a minute, was authority over sickness and disease, and told him to go out, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Amen. All the things that he did, he gave them the authority, showing us, see, today, and he is our example in ministry. As he is, so are we in this world. We're to be conformed unto his image. It's still the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever we call our part of it. You know, Rhema, well, it's part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're involved in ministry that Jesus isn't involved in, I'd get out of that as quick as you can. You understand what I mean by that. Now, this authority, looking it up in the dictionary, says legal right to rule and command. Legal right to exercise power. Listen to this one. It says it's the legal right to speak and be obeyed. You and I have the legal right to speak to sickness and disease, and it has to obey us when we speak and use the key, the name of Jesus. See, that's the key that unlocks that power. Jesus' name is the key that unlocks all that he did for us. And he has given us the authority to use the key, his name. All right? Now, you know, one thing, I know when we moved back here in February of 2000 and had been associate pastor in two different churches for approximately 16 years, and we got back here and we didn't have any ministry responsibilities whatsoever. And I was sitting back over here in this section one service, and I was sitting back there. But I was sitting there and I was watching nurses do, I was watching different things. I think it might have been a healing line going on. And you know, when you've been in and you've been in charge of that kind of stuff, you watch it all the time and you know, why are they doing it that way and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there watching that, getting aggravated about something I saw. And all of a sudden, on the inside, the Lord asked me this question. I know it was the Lord because I wasn't smart enough to think this up. He said, do you have a key on your key ring that unlocks any door at this ministry? You know, when the Lord asks you a question, you're set up. He's not going to set you up. You're already set up. I said, no. And he goes, then it's none of your business, is it? Now that set me free. Because now I could just be a church member. And I needed that at that time, to be a church member for a year and a half. Just church members. Amen. But that set me free that day. Now I got some keys in my pocket right now that do unlock certain doors. I don't have the key, the one key that rules. No, not the key. That's a ring, right? But there is that key here that pastor has that opens every door. I've just got keys to the doors that I have authority to open. But the name of Jesus gives you and gives me the key to open up everything that he's done for us through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and seating at the right hand of God. We have the legal right. And God does things according to the, he is, I mean, any good legal system is formed on the word of God. If you look, I mean, you can't have a good legal system without the word of God being involved in it. But God's legal system is even better than any man's legal system. You understand that? But God does things according to certain rules. You could even say laws if you want to. But according to certain principles. Well, you're not just going to, you know, exercise things without having the right and authority to do it. Amen. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 10 now. I mentioned to you that Jesus gave them authority. Let's look at that. And remember, he said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. This is one of the things he commanded them, told them to go do. They were amazed when they came back. They said, even the devils answer to your name. But look here in Matthew 10, verse 1. Now, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, that word power in the King James is, again, the word authority. Same word in the Greek. That's translated authority back there that we read in chapter 7. Here it's translated power, but it's the word authority. This is not dunamis. This is not, listen to me now. Listen to me. This is so important. He didn't give them a special anointing. He gave them something greater. He gave them authority. He's the anointed one. See, that way, it's not how much I'm anointed. It's always about him. And it's his name. Now, thank God for men and women whom God has used. But I'm convinced God has used them that way because people couldn't get it any other way. God is not, he's interested in you getting your need met and helping people get their needs met. So I'm not going to put him in any box, are you? And say, well, God, you have to, you know. No, if he wants to anoint people to do that with special anointings and that, then great. But I know this, if we will, and Brother Hagin said, I've been doing some more reading and different things. He said, we have not fully walked in the authority. He said, we have yet to see what would happen if the body of Christ would rise up and everyone would walk in that authority. You see, because authority, I've been given right. Now, I want you to know, I know when I first came into, you know, into the things of God, and we had our involved in little Bible studies and came, you know, up out of our denominational church and started hanging around with spirit-filled folks, and, you know, we earned our name Crazymatics, you know, Charismatics. We did everything. But I always heard, you know, you'd hear people say, well, now, you know, you have to have the right timing, and you have to have, and I understand all those things. I understand all those things. But when we really realize that we have the authority, the right to exercise that authority, amen. Now, what I don't, let's, we always have to say this when we're talking about authority. I don't have authority over your will. No one. You don't have authority over anybody's will. I tell our students, you know, today, when I was a student here, and that was, you know, Pastor Marvin and I, we both graduated in the 10th graduating class here at Rhema. But back in those days, you know, people were learning how to use their faith and call things and claim things, you know, that belonged to them. And, you know, there was a lot of students that, you know, it was even girls and guys. It just wasn't the guys. Girls and guys claiming them a spouse. I claim that one right there, you know, and getting it all messed up. You can imagine all the mess that caused, you know. But see, you don't have authority over someone else's will. And God doesn't either. He'd make it's his will everyone would be saved, right? And you know good and well that everybody's not born again. Are they? Right? But that authority. So, let's look in Matthew chapter 8 and let's watch Jesus minister and use that authority, because we have been given that authority. It's been delegated to us. All right? That same Holy Ghost power that was at the center of Jesus. Remember Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost in power who went about doing good and healing and all. That's the same Holy Ghost that's in you. All right? And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he's upon you. That power, you shall receive power, that same power. Glory to God. But let's watch Jesus. And let's look, I want you, in looking at it, I want you to see how he operated in authority. He, there's no question to him. He's, now, there's different, listen, authority makes you bold, but not arrogant. Having faith in God will make you bold, but it should never make you arrogant. And having faith and boldness never means you treat people wrong. You should always treat people with the dignity and worth that God has given them. He crowned mankind with dignity and worth. Everyone's valuable to God, right? But here in Matthew 8, so let's begin in verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now let's notice here what this man believed. Here this man did believe something, didn't he? He believed Jesus could. If you will, you can. So he had faith, at least in God, that in Jesus, that he could do it. He just wasn't, he didn't know about the will of Jesus, the will of God. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean, or be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now I want you to notice here, now we kind of go through, because really, I found this out, the longer I have to speak to something, I'm really the less I'm convinced it's going to happen. Jesus didn't say, whosoever shall talk to the mountain and convince the mountain that it has to move. No, he said, speak to the mountain, it'll go. Jesus said, I will be cleansed. And immediately. Now see, recognize the authority of what Jesus is doing here. But also recognize this. He's making a statement. This is the first recorded individual in the New Testament. May not have been the first miracle, but I'm putting Matthew's the first book of the New Testament, right? And this is the first individual. Now, Jesus had gone about, that we're told of. Jesus had gone about, in Matthew 4, talked about it, healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. We know that's there. But this is the first individual. And an individual came to Jesus and asked, is it God's will for me to be healed? I know God can do it, but is it his will? And Jesus answered that question once and for all. If it's his will to heal that leper, it's his will to heal anybody. Because what makes that leper to differ from anybody? No, there's no difference. It's his will to heal. And he didn't question. He didn't say, go through some long fancy prayer. He said, I will be clean. Amen. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now notice what he did here. And notice this. He said, obey the word. Because if you go back in the law, that's what they, for a leper, when they were cleansed, they were supposed to go show themselves to the priest and the priest would declare them cleansed. Obey the word. That's always something, that's good advice to give anybody. Well, what do I do now? Walk, just obey the word. Do what the word of God says. Jesus even told one person, don't go and sin lest something worse come on you. In other words, obey the word. Okay? All right, now this centurion comes to him. Let's look at this. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. He's paralyzed. His servant. Now, I want you to notice here, this is interesting because, people get into all kinds of arguments about, well, who can we exercise authority for and all that. This person was his servant or his employee, and he become paralyzed somehow. And he said, he's tormented. And he said, and Jesus said, now notice this again, I will come and heal him. Now notice again, he's operating in that authority. Remember, they're astonished. They've been astonished that he spoke as one that had authority. He spoke as one that acted like God wanted to be involved with you right now. God wants to do something for you right now. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they marveled at his words, at the authority of his word. This day. And he said, because of that, I will come. and heal him. Amen. Now, the only difference between him and we're not, I'm not going to come heal you, but I'm going to come and you're going to get healed. Jesus is going to heal you. Because why? You've already been healed by his stripes. But I will come and heal him. But notice what this man said here. This man understood something about authority. That the highest, listen to me, the highest form of, highest way to exercise authority is through the spoken word. Amen? God has intended for the highest place of authority, the greatest power released is through his word. When he speaks his word and we believe it, that's it. His word is his power. All right? And so words, that's the greatest place of authority. Parents, if we can ever get our children to obey our words, then we've got it, we were in a good place. Obey my words. Right? If you train up a child, but when they get to where they do what you say the first time and with a good attitude, that's good living. Right? Well, how many of you know God might enjoy that too? If we would obey him the first time and with a good attitude. All right, but look what this is, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. Notice what this centurion, this Roman soldier knew. That once the command is given, it must be obeyed. So all you have to do is give the command and it has to happen. All right? Now notice, a lot of times we're trying to operate authority through threats. Well, if you don't do this, then I'm going to have to, you know, no, that's not, you're not operating authority. Amen. Well, what if I say something that doesn't happen? It's not your responsibility. That's on them then. Okay? And just natural things of that. But let's look here. Look what he says. I'm a man under authority. Having soldiers under me, I say to this, go, and he goes. And to one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Look what Jesus said. Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I think the teaching of faith, without understanding proper biblical teaching on authority, it's hard to understand how faith operates. Amen. And he goes on to say, and I say that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. How many of you have come from east, west, wherever, all right? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness and shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. Go your way. Again, notice Jesus here is giving a command. He's giving instructions. Go your way, because as you have believed, it shall be done unto you. This man understood authority, and Jesus said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. See, what was great about the man's faith? Because he understood the authority of words. If we'd ever get a hold of the fact that God's word has said it, it's done. That's great faith. I don't need anything else. I don't need Jesus to come down and lay his hand on my fevered brow. He already took stripes on his back. By his stripes, I am healed. I was, and so I am. Right? Amen. And so he's ministering this. He's ministering out of this authority. And what's he's ministering out of that life. In him was life. We've got that same life in us. He's ministering it to them. But he's not done yet. Verse 14. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Now here he didn't say anything. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. But notice here, he touched the leper, right? He touched this woman. Evidently, that healing power, And we have the authority to lay our hands on people and for them to be healed. Because in Mark 16, he did say that, right? These signs shall follow them that believe. One of the things in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But we have authority. Here, he didn't say anything that's recorded. He just touched her hand and she was healed. Glory to God. You see, listen, if that's not available today, what are we doing? Why are we? It is available today. Amen. I told you about the lady who was bedridden with cancer for 9 months, that 2 years ago, her husband came and asked for prayer. And so they prayed to him and spoke and ministered. She wasn't even there. Just prayed and agreed. Your wife's healed in Jesus' name. Healed of that cancer. Their daughter had become so distraught, she'd lost her mind. She's in a mental institution. So distraught over her mother's cancer. Where's God? No one touched. Words were spoken in faith in the name of Jesus. 2 years later, totally cancer free. Daughter freed in her mind. Totally dismissed from the mental institution. Standing there as a family. Wife restored to her husband. Husband restored to her. Daughter, family totally restored from words that were spoken in faith. By someone that hadn't even graduated from Bible school. Yeah. Just a believer like all of us in here. Amen. But Jesus isn't done. When evening was come, they brought unto him, this is just a day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. It's the word rhema there. And healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now I want you to notice here, here's 17 verses. God doesn't waste time. His word tells exactly. But 17, three different individuals, but four different sections really that people pull out sometimes just to talk about here. But that talk about, and in every one of them, you can see the authority that Jesus operated in. And he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Well, we're not going to do it apart from that authority. You see. Now, who has that? The pastor? Yeah, but so did you. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you should launch a worldwide healing ministry. But that does mean you should launch healing. You should launch out and believe that if someone comes in your path that has a need and they're agreeable, now you just can't say, well, if that's true, just go to the hospital and clean it out. You understand people have to cooperate. I can't exercise authority over people's wills. You can't either. God doesn't. Jesus didn't. Okay? You know, Jesus, this wasn't some Jedi mind trick over weak-minded people. These are not the droids you're looking for. No. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking. This isn't spooky. This is real thing, real power that's released through men and women who understand their authority. Now, again, you go to using that authority for self. Now, not you. We have authority in our own life. We have authority over sin in our own life. We have authority over sickness and disease. We have authority over poverty and lack, right? We have authority over all that where it comes to us. Amen. But I'm talking about, pastor said it this morning. Now the worship is over. Now the service begins. Well, how are we going to go out and serve people? We're going to do it. I don't think we have a right to take a powerless gospel to a lost and dying world. Paul said in the Romans, he said, I've gone all about Illyricum, around about preaching the gospel with signs and wonders. He said, I have fully preached the gospel. Well, if we don't have signs and wonders, I don't think we fully preach the gospel. Amen? But we have to understand that we have the right. Another way to say authority is we have the right to use the name of Jesus on behalf of others, the world. Amen. Just we were in Kenya last summer, and one of the days we went to a hospital. All right. Prayed for many people. They took us in the malaria ward. Some people went in the AIDS ward, and other folks went into other different ones and prayed for people in the name of Jesus. Spoke to them, told them God wanted to heal them. All right. Some things happened instantly. Man, we were there getting ready to leave, and there was this young girl young woman came standing. She's all dressed up. She's got a nice red dress on. She's all fixed up. She's just standing there smiling. We're like, is she with our group? And we're asking our interpreters, do you know her? No, I don't know who she is. They finally asked, well, who are you? She don't recognize me, do you? No. She said, I just got prayed for. I had malaria, but now I'm totally healed. Doctor said I can go home. That fast. Well, I had posted something on Facebook, and one of the pastors over there that was there with us in the hospital said, I just came across a man who was in the hospital. According to his words, he had uncontrollable sugar. In other words, diabetic. He's in the hospital because it's uncontrollable. He said, and he was out herding his flock, totally healed. Amen. From that day forward, he began to get better. He's totally well today. He said, he just gave me that testimony from a year ago. Amen. Not because, you know, of any person, but because we have the authority. And we didn't ask these people, well, are you a Christian? Because if you're not a Christian, I can't, you know, God won't bless you, you no good sinner. We didn't even ask them that. We asked them, do you want to be healed? Can we pray for you? Yes, please. Amen. Hallelujah. You mean God would heal non-Christians? Everyone Jesus healed was not a Christian. Every one of them. It's recorded, and I realize most of them were Jews, but you realize every one of them wasn't born again. Hallelujah. Anybody on here, you got healed before you're Christian, and that's what kind of got you to God? Look, we got people raise their hands all over. We have that authority. You have that authority to minister the life that's in you to others. Pastor again is talking about we got to tell others what God's done for us. And if he did it for me, I'll guarantee he'll do it for you. Because I don't have any pedigree that makes me any different than anybody else. My righteousness is just as filthy as anybody else's rags. Right? But God has done it. And he wants to do it for others. Now, how's he going to do it? Through you and I. You go. All authority has been given to me. Now I'm giving it to you. You go. And in that. Now, I want to challenge you with something. I want you to go through Matthew. I want you to go through Mark. I want you to go through Luke. I want you to go through John. I want you to go through the book of Acts. And when you read those stories of healing and miracles, you're not the person needing healing. You're not the person needing a miracle. You're the person God's using to minister. Read it from that perspective and start looking at that. And then see yourself as the one laying hands on somebody. See yourself as speaking the word. See yourself. Amen? Because it didn't stop with Jesus, did it? Throughout the book of Acts, we see God working through people and people getting healed and well, right? People getting their needs met, right? Well, let's look at it instead of, you know, yes, we need to know God meets our needs. But that's that well springing up. I'm talking tonight about that river flowing out. All right? So instead of the one needing the river flowing to me, let's be the river. See ourselves. And then when I look and read that, I'm telling the leper, God will. God wants you to be well. I guarantee you, God wants you to be well right now. Do you think he can? Oh, I know he can. Well, he wants you right now. Be clean. See, that's me. That's you telling the leper that. And once that starts, you're going to be like, there are going to be people come to you. My daughter, my so-and-so, they're sick. Would you pray for them? I'll come. Amen. Oh, you don't have to come. Just what do you say? They're healed in Jesus' name. Oh, do you think I could actually do that? Go back to the word. Build your faith. See yourself doing it. The works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. How many believe Jesus has gone to the Father? Well then, he didn't lie, did he? Did he say only it? No, he said, these works shall you do. But remember what he prefaced it with? The Father in me, and I in him. See, when we know who we are, we're in him and he's in us, then it comes out, that authority flows out of that relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We have authority. We have authority. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Authority not just for ourselves, but authority to minister your goodness to men and women we come in contact with. Father, I thank you. Yes, Lord, we do need to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In everything we do. But I thank you, Father God, for providing us opportunities. Father, teach us to take our place, to use that name, to stand in that position of authority. We have the legal right to speak over all the power of the enemy and to be obeyed. Sickness and diseases of the enemy, poverty and lacks of the enemy, people's lives wrecked with sin, that's of the enemy. So, Father, thank you that we have authority, backed by all the power of heaven, backed by everything Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Now remember, again, let me make this cautionary statement. We don't have authority over people's wills. So quit trying to put pressure on people by saying, I took authority over... No, you can't take authority over them. Take authority over the Spirit might be working through them or in them. Prayer team, you can come. All right? But you don't have authority over people. Amen. In that sense, you know what I'm saying? Operating in the spiritual authority. Well, no, wait a minute. I'm the head of my department. I got authority. Well, I'm not talking about that. Okay? Tonight. That's a whole nother subject. Amen. Do you need prayer tonight? Ladies are on my right. Men are on my left. Come on down. Men pray with the men. Ladies with the ladies. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Why? That's where the answer is. Amen? That's where your answer is. And so you want to come and you want to pray with them. You can come on down after service. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you don't have this authority yet. You don't have that well springing up, and you certainly don't have that river of living water flowing out. But you can leave here tonight with that. New life in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Have first-time guests, Pastor Bill? Did we have some first-time? So if our connection team would find our first-time guests, let's give those folks a big hand clap for being with us tonight for the first time. God bless you so much. They're going to take you, got a gift prepared on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen just for you tonight. We invite you to come back Wednesday night, Hour of Power, and then Sunday morning. I believe Pastor will be here both times, right, this week. Amen. Hallelujah. He was talking this morning about 1967 he got ordained. Whew. I was 6 years old. Amen. He's a lot older. No. He's the same age as my dad's just a few months older than him, so praise the Lord. He's been at it. He's worth listening to. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, he was wound up this morning, too. That's almost got to be a stem winder. What's that mean? Well, you're not old enough, I guess, to understand the stem winder. Glory to God. We all clear after that, I think? All right. God bless you. Sign up to help at Rockets Over Rhema, and you can be dismissed.